This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Hey family, I'm PT, Pastor Teray Roberts, and the lead pastor of the Potter's House at 1LA in Denver. And on behalf of my wife, Pastor Sarah, and myself, we want to welcome you to our channel and to this word. I cannot wait for you to hear what God has for you in this message. I want to tell you a few things really quickly. Subscribe. If you're not already subscribed to this channel, subscribe so that you can be made aware of all of the word that's coming at you week in and week out. And also turn on your notifications so you don't miss a morsel that comes forth. We're also grateful for you and your partnership. If you are so compelled, we invite you to support what we're doing, not just our church, but what our church is doing. There are a number of outreaches, a number of things, critical, necessary things that we support, and we're able to do it because of your generosity. So without further ado, let's get right into this word. God bless you. I'll see you soon.
Hallelujah, family. It's so exciting to be with you today for Activate. I'm truly excited for what God has purposed that is going to take place today, and especially in your life as a result of this word. So I really just want to dive into it. You see, for those of you taking notes, my message today is about understanding times and seasons. One of my favorite scriptures, I'm going to read it with you. It's in Ecclesiastes 3:1, and it says, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven." To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Now, if you have been connected to this ministry for any length of time, you may have heard our pastor talk about the sons of Issachar. You see, the sons of Issachar, they stood out in their generation because they had an advantage about them. They understood times and seasons and what the nation of Israel ought to do. This was their advantage. It caused them to be leaders in their generation. Now, the beautiful thing, family, is that we have the access to that advantage. You see, because the advantage is the Holy Spirit. And when you said yes to Jesus, you received the Holy Spirit. You received access to the anointing. The anointing is literally everything in life. The anointing is what allows us to live a fulfilled life. The anointing is what activates us in the calling of God. It sets us apart for what God set us apart for. It's a beautiful thing. The scriptures also tells us that the anointing breaks the yoke. Now, that's fascinating to me, because whatever the yoke is, whatever bondage looks like in a person's life, whatever destruction, literally the anointing breaks the chains of destruction. But now we're talking about knowledge, we're talking about the anointing, we're talking about understanding times and seasons. How does all of this tie in together? You know, there's a scripture in the book of Hosea that says that my people, and this is the Lord speaking, he says, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. Now, on one end, we hear that the anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing breaks destruction, that the anointing cannot be there and there's destruction at the same time. But then again, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. And what the Lord began to teach me is that knowledge is an expression of the anointing. You see, because the anointing points to the Holy Spirit. It points to all the expressions of God. And one of the things, we may call this the gifts of the Spirit or the manifestation of the Spirit. And part of that is knowledge and understanding. Now, this is going to be so good, but you may be watching, right? And you're like, hey, but I know the Lord. I'm anointed by God. But I still have these moments in my life where I don't understand. I still have moments in my life where I feel like I'm struggling with what's next. I feel like there is a bondage upon my life, but I know the Lord. And yet again, in that scripture, it says, my people, God is not talking about people that don't belong to him. He says, my chosen ones, my anointed are perishing because of lack of knowledge. And here is the thing. You see, the anointing cannot be exhausted in your lifetime. Because again, if the anointing points to God, then it is as limitless as God. And that is why, as believers, we have to always stay in the posture of being hungry and thirsty for the things of God, because that is what increases our capacity for more of who He is. We can never get to a stage in life that we become complacent and say, hey, you know, where I'm at right now, I'm cool, you know, this is all good, you know, I wake up, do my little, you know, devotion and all that stuff. No, we can never get complacent. We always have to be hungry and thirsty for more of God. And that is why Jesus said that he who hungers and thirsts for righteousness will be filled. He who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, we have to always be in that position that, God, I want more of who you are, because the anointing is as limitless as God himself. Now, as we're going to talk about understanding times and seasons, why is this so critical? You see, one of the things that the Lord has been teaching me is that our lives, the full expression of our lives, the stages of our lives, the very things that God has marked our lives to achieve, they are locked up into times and seasons. There is a time connected to everything that you are connected to. There is a season ordained by God for everything that you are connected to. And so when you're thinking about, sometimes even as a child, right, you know, the Lord will put dreams in your heart. The Lord will show you things connected to your future, but it's connected to a time and it's connected to a season. And so when we talk about those sons of Issachar and the advantage that they had is that not only were they aware, not only were they knowledgeable about the times, they knew what they ought to do. Now, we just got out of a pandemic, right? Sometimes I call it a panoramic or anything that starts with a Pizza Hut, right? Now, what we experiencing right now is a corporate shift, right? Life is not what we have always known it to be. And it would actually be sad to crave what once was rather than recognizing what is happening now. What is the innovation that is coming about as a result of what we experience as a corporate body? But when you see a shift happening in the corporate body, when you see a shift happening in the church, in the big C church, right? When you see a shift happening in these ways, you have to recognize that there's also a shift happening in your life. That there is a new season that is coming upon you. There's a new season that is coming upon me. And we have to be in tune and sensitive to God. What is this season saying about me? What have you allocated to my life? What is locked up about my life that is connected to me understanding the time that I am in and what I ought to do? Now, we're going to look at my main scripture for today, and that is in John chapter 5, verse 1 to 10, right? And I'm going to be reading, this is the New King James Version, if just in case you want to know. But the scripture says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there in Jerusalem by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel of the Lord went down at a certain time. An angel went down at a certain time. Just mark that if you're reading from your Bible, if you're reading from your phone, just highlight, right? Now, he went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now, a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years rather. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there, he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered and said, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." He didn't answer the question. He's just telling Jesus all these excuses, right? Then Jesus said to him, "Rise up, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well. He took up his bed and he walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." This is very fascinating, right? There's so much in this scripture, but I really want to just touch on the things that were highlighted to me. You see, first of all, we learn about this pool, right? There's a certain pool, and at a certain time, an angel of the Lord comes and stirs up the waters. And outside of the appointed time of God, this pool is just a natural pool. It doesn't mean anything. I mean, people, you could go there for a good swim, right, on a hot, sunny day. But when the angel comes in and stirs up the water, when the angel is connected to the appointed time of God, all of a sudden, what was natural becomes supernatural. That anyone who had any type of disease would be cured the moment the first person to step into the water, they would be cured of their diseases. Now, this is so powerful to me because, again, you look at something that outside of the appointed time, outside of the time set by God, this was just an ordinary pool. But at the time set by God, this pool transformed into something else. You see, one of the things I'm learning is that when you do things in alignment with the seasons and the times connected to your life, you have a grace of ease. There is a supernatural favor that comes upon your life. There's a supernatural favor that causes things to work together so effortlessly. You see, many times we deal with frustration and disappointment because we're doing the right thing at the wrong time. We're trying to force something to happen in a time that the Lord has not appointed. You see, that was what was happening with Abraham and his wife Sarah. The Lord told Abraham, he said, hey, you're going to have a son, right? The first time the Lord tells him, he didn't give him a timeline or anything like that. He just said, you're going to have a son. Later on, Sarah was like, hey, you know, the time is going past and all this stuff is happening and we don't have this child. You know what? Let's make this up ourselves. Let's figure this out. Sarah gives Abraham one of her staff, you know, to, you know, sleep with and all that stuff. It's a very interesting story. You should read it. And then, you know, she gets pregnant, but that is not the child that was appointed by God for Abraham. And this child will be the cause of some frustrations in the future. But what I'm trying to explain to you is that when we are trying to force something outside of the season and the time appointed by God, we are met with disappointment and we are met with frustration. It doesn't work the way it works when God puts his hand on it. Because again, the scripture tells us that times and seasons belong to the Lord. And so this water, ordinary, all of a sudden, the angel comes and stirs it up and it brings about supernatural power, supernatural favor. That is what happens when you have the knowledge of what you ought to do in a season and you do it. That is why there are some times in life when the Lord is speaking to you about something, there is this sense of urgency. And if you don't quicken, if you don't respond to this urgency, and what you don't realize is because there's a window. And what the enemy does, you know, our pastor was recently teaching us about when he was talking about the you know, the different warfares and the, you know, fighting spiritual warfares and all of that. And he talked about fear and he talked about how fear is outside of you because you cannot be against yourself. Sometimes the Lord will set before you a window of opportunity. And then all of a sudden, the enemy is like, if I can distract you with fear, if I can distract you with the what ifs, if I can distract you with all the things that could go wrong, then it could stall you outside to bring you to a place when you go outside of the appointed time. You see, but what we don't realize is that we feel like we have all the time, right? That we can do anything whenever we want. But that's not the case, because there is a time marked by God. And that's why for some of you watching this right now, there's an instruction that has been placed in your spirit. And actually, it was even placed at the top of this year. And there were things that the Lord showed you that needs to manifest before the end of this year. Look at us. Right now, we've reached the midpoint where we're halfway in the year. And there's some things that the Lord told you to do in the beginning that you still have not yet done. Because every time you want to get to it, you're distracted by fear. And the fear is not even coming from you. The fear is literally just that. It's a distraction. Because as long as the enemy can stall you for the season, for that window of opportunity, then he's fine. That's why if you think back in your life, you think about some of the fears you had, there are moments where it's the feeling of the fear is as heavy as the urgency for what God has called you to do. And then all of a sudden, the fear lifts off of you. What you were so terrified about, nothing changed. All of a sudden, you woke up one day and you're like, oh, actually, I could do this. But what you have lost sight of is that that window of opportunity has shifted. So the enemy is like, oh yeah, you doing that is not a threat to me anymore. Times and seasons. It is so imperative that we are connected to God. What does this time represent? And what do I have to do in it? You see, because the beauty in this scripture that we just read, right? The angel of the Lord goes before the people to stir the waters. The angel went before them. It was not that they stepped into the water and they were waiting and they were laboring and you're just like, you know, I don't know what I'm doing. This feels like I'm dancing, right? Like rowing the boat. But they were doing all this stuff waiting for the angel. No, the angel of the Lord went before them. This is the power of an appointed time by God. Because you see, the angels, you know, first of all, we don't pray to angels or worship angels or call unto angels. No, because the scripture tells us that the angels, they are the mighty ones of God who listen to his instruction. They do what God says. So whenever there is a word connected to a season of your life, whenever there was a word connected to a time, the angels go before you because they recognize what that time represents. And they go before you because they are co-laborers with us to make certain that the purpose of God and the will of God through your life will be manifested. So the angel of the Lord went before them to stir the water, and then they could hop in, the first person. Why is this amazing news? Because see, for some people, maybe you're feeling like God has forgotten you. God is not listening to your prayers because there are things that you have been crying to the Lord about and you're like, God, it's not happening. But the reality is perhaps the disappointment was that your expectation for when it would happen is connected to the voice of culture, the voice of family, the timing of society, what all these things are telling you that when it should happen, it was not connected to the appointed time. Because when a time is marked by God, there are angels that go before us to make certain that our crooked paths are made straight. But we have to be sensitive to them. We have to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We have to be sensitive to the instruction of the Lord. We have to be sensitive to the way we go about things. You see, one of the scriptures that I find so amazing, right? It's also connected to Abraham. There was a time in the appointed time that Abraham recognized that it was time for his son, now the promised child, right? Isaac, to get married. Abraham calls one of his staff members and he's like, look, I need you to go to my home country and I need you to get at my son, Isaac, a wife. His staff is like, hey, you know, boss man, right? Senor. He's like, how is this going to work out? Because you want me to go get your son a wife. And Abraham tells him something so powerful. He tells him that the angel of the Lord will go before you. Because you see, what Abraham was very sensitive to times and seasons. Abraham recognized that I'm not just telling you to go find my son or wife randomly. I recognize that this is the season that is connected to his marriage. He says the angel of the Lord will go before you. And if you're familiar with this scripture, and if you're not, you definitely want to read it. But what happens when his staff member goes to find him a wife, there is supernatural favor that they encounter. The way everything worked out, it's like it was only the hand of God that made that work. The way he found the wife and her name was Rebecca, it is such a beautiful story. And that was because there was help that went before him, that the Lord is attached to what he assigns, that when the Lord assigns something, he is also responsible and he co-labors with you. He comes in agreement with you and he sends help before you. And so when we read about the story of how Rebecca and Isaac got together, what we honestly see there is the hand of God that was orchestrating it all along the way. You know, one of the favorite things I love to hear about, maybe because I'm just, you know, I love, you know, my favorite genre is like romantic comedy and all this stuff with, you know, Titanic and The Notebook and all this mushy stuff, right? But I love when I hear about people's love story. I love when I hear about how people meet, because oftentimes when you hear about it, what you're hearing is the hand of God that orchestrated it. What you're hearing is like, wow, there is no way this would have happened if this didn't happen and if that didn't happen. And all you're seeing there are the fingerprints of God because of what he appointed for that season. This is what we're seeing in this scripture. But then something interesting happens, right? So we see the angel of the Lord, he goes before, he stirs up the water. But then this certain man that the Bible tells us about, he was there for 38 years, to the point that Jesus comes to him and he says, "Do you want to be made well?" It was almost as though Jesus was telling him, "How is it possible that you have been here 38 years? How is it possible that you have seen the different appointed times that the angel has come to stir the waters and you have not yet figured out how to position and prepare yourself on how to step into it first?" That he's looking at this man and he's asking him, "Do you truly desire freedom? Because if you truly desire this, you will seek it out. You will seek out and understanding what must I do to position myself properly." You see, this question of Jesus is so loaded because it's telling us that this man had access to an insight, but he was not tapping into it. So Jesus says, "Do you actually want to be made well?" And when this man responds, he's telling Jesus all his excuses, you know, "Yes, I'm trying, but then I don't have anyone to help me," and all this stuff. And one of the things I've recognized is that when we find ourselves complaining more than seeking, we have come into a place of comfort with our infirmity. Now, this is a very hard truth and reality. Nobody wants to say that I am sleeping with the enemy. Nobody wants to say that after I go out in the world and I post a story on Instagram, you know, that says, you know, "New hair, who this," right? And all this amazing stuff that we like to talk about that just makes us feel like, hey, something, you know, brand new is happening. And new hair, who, you know, who this, right? For me. Anywho, who wants to admit, right, that after you have gone out in the world and you're proclaiming freedom and all that stuff in the privacy of your home, you're going back to bed with the enemy? In the privacy of your home, you're going back to the very thing that broke you. I don't know what that looks like in your life. But in the privacy, when no one is looking, you're running back to the very thing that you want to proclaim freedom from. This man is by the pool because he wants to be set free. He wants to be made whole. But at the same time, Jesus says, you look like you're doing the right thing, right? You came to the location where once the angel stirs the water, the first person will go in and they'll be made well. But at the same time, Jesus poses the question, but do you really want this? Do we just say things and we're going back to patterns that are dysfunctional? Do we just say things? Do we position ourselves in places, but yet our actions are not fully in alignment with what we're actually saying we desire? We have to be honest with ourselves. When you find yourself in this place of complaint, but nothing has changed in your attitude, nothing has changed in your character, nothing has changed in your way of life, we have to take a look in the mirror and say, do I really want this? God, I really need to seek after. If this is what I really want, then I need to seek for understanding and clarity and understanding for what my next steps ought to be. You see, sometimes in life, there is this burden that comes upon you. There is this weight of heaviness for what's next. The only way you can interpret it is that there is more. There are times when it's a divine grace. When something comes upon you and it causes you to be unsettled with where you are, it is God trying to activate your senses to recognize that a new season is about to come upon you. And you cannot stay complacent. You cannot just stay where you are and all you do is complaining. Complaining is deceptive because we think that by complaining, we are exercising our need to be free. But complaining is like sinking sand. The more you do it, you go deeper in the problem. But are we in the position of saying, God, there is a heaviness on me. I can't shake it off. I'm laughing with people. I'm smiling with my family. I'm smiling with friends. But there is a burden in my heart and I don't know what to do with this. We have to seek the Lord. And this is my assignment today. You see, there was a time in my life, many of you might know this story. Right? I was not in ministry at this time. I was in real estate And I was good. You know, I was living my best life. Oh, not really, you know, living what I thought was my best life, right? But there was this heaviness that came upon me. There was this unrest, uneasiness that came upon me. And I realized that there is something God is trying to shake me up into. There was something that, like, it didn't matter what was coming in. There was this feeling that, God, there is more. That was the easiest way I could translate it. There is more connected to who I am. I may not know what that is, but there is more. And in order to tap into that more, I went into a season of prayer and fasting. I said, God, I don't know what it is, but you do. And I'm seeking you to give me an instruction for what this season will represent in my life. I need to know what I ought to do. Coming back to the sons of Issachar, they understood the times and knew what the nation of Israel ought to do. And we have that same advantage in the Holy Spirit. I went into a season and I said, God, I can't shake this off. This burden is taking away. It's causing everything I do to not have any taste for me. That I'm not engaged with it. No matter how amazing it looks in the public eye. Have you ever been there? When what should feel like the best moments in your life actually make you the saddest? That the moments where everyone is applauding you and their accolades coming into your life, but you're not happy. That what looks like success to the outside world, what gets you the most like on social media, that right after you go back into this state that feels like heaviness, that feels like depression, it's not always what it looks like. It's not that you're not present. Sometimes we think that, oh, maybe I just need to be present to enjoy what the Lord is doing. It's not always that you're not present. Sometimes it is a grace from God to wake you up and shake you up to step into your next season. That is why there's a word of God that talks about awake, O sleeper. That you're sleeping, you're asleep, your senses, your spiritual senses are asleep to what the new season represents. And the Lord is saying, wake up. I can't let you just get comfortable here because you need to wake up. There is something I'm about to do. And if you tap into it, it will change your life. There is something that has been locked up before time, connected to this new season that needs to manifest through you, but you need to know it. And again, this is my assignment today. What the Lord told me to tell you is that in this season that you need to go deeper in your prayer life. You see, there's a scripture I want us to read. It's in Jeremiah 33 verse 3. And the scripture says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Call to me. This is an invitation for everyone. The Lord says there are things that, of course, you're not going to know everything because you are not the Alpha and the Omega. You are not the beginning and the end. He is. But then he says, call to me and I will answer you and I will show you mighty things which you do not know. That is why we always have to stay hungry for God. We always have to be in the posture. You see, something about prayer. Prayer is a posture of acknowledged weakness. When you acknowledge your weakness that, God, I don't know. When you acknowledge that, God, I'm stepping into a day, I'm stepping into a season, and I don't know what it represents. I need you. When you recognize your need, your every day, every second need for God, that is what brings us to humble ourselves and pray. To say, God, I'm not going to lean on my own wisdom. I'm not going to lean on my own knowledge. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. There is something you're trying to awaken me to, and I need to submit myself to you in the place of prayer. You see, one of the things that prayer does, because when you first acknowledge, and that is why, first of all, to go a day without praying, our pastor calls that pride, and that's exactly what it is. To go into a day that you have never been before, and not acknowledge the one who created the day, to not call on him to guide and order your steps to be the light before you. It is pride. It is to say, I got this, right? Same day, same thing, right? That this doesn't work like that. The mercies of God are made new every morning. There is something available to you every morning that was not available the day before. And so in that place of prayer, we say, God, I acknowledge my weakness. I don't know everything, and I need you. You see, prayer also, it sharpens your inner knower. When you come into that place of prayer, your inner knower, that when you have your sense, you're more sensitive to the Holy Spirit has more access to your thought life. The Holy Spirit has more access to your initiative. The Holy Spirit has more access to who you are. All of a sudden, even you start dreaming more, your dreams become clearer. You wake up with an understanding of what your dreams are. This is what happens. Prayer is a beautiful exchange of communication. It is when you're saying, God, here I am. I need you. I'm committing myself. I'm stepping into something new and I need you. It's not complicated. You see, one of the misconceptions sometimes in the body of Christ is that there are people called to the ministry of intercession. It doesn't exist. There is no such thing biblically as a ministry of intercession. There are intercessors, and that is you. An intercessor is simply someone who prays. And that is you. That is why Jesus didn't say, you know, for those that pray, or if you pray. He says, when you pray, and this was to everyone, when you pray, this is how you should pray. You are the intercessor. You see, sometimes there might be someone you admire, right? And you admire their prayer life. And you admire their prayer life because, hey, they could go in there for 2 hours nonstop and it feels like a picnic for them. It's not because they are in their, you know, they're called to the ministry of intercession. No, nobody is born with the desire to pray for 2 hours. When I started praying to the Lord, it's conversations, right? But then when I started, even because the idea of intercession, even when you just think about in the fullness, is the petitioning. When you're coming before God, there's something you're petitioning God for, and you're trying to get understand. It's to bridge that gap of, you know, the bridge the gap of clarity, rather. When you're like, God, there is something going on here, and I need to petition for clarity. I need to petition for your hand to step into this. I need to petition to see it the way you see it. So I'm petitioning. I'm bringing forth a request, and there is something specific that you need an answer for. There is something specific that you need God to respond to you to. But when I started praying in that manner, 2 minutes felt like 2 hours, right? It'll be 2 minutes and I'm like, whoo, wow, I am starving. You know, all of a sudden you get thirsty, or you start craving things that you don't even crave for. You're just like, then you start thinking about doing your laundry, right? You're like, my gosh, I have so much laundry. It doesn't start like that for anyone. It doesn't start into this 2 hour realm or things like that. The only difference when you see someone who may be praying for 2 hours and they're doing all that stuff, it's simply because they have worked that muscle. They have worked it over time. Because when you consistently do something, the spirit behind it will empower you. When you consistently make yourself available in the place of prayer, the Holy Spirit begins to empower you. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden you have been anointed into the ministry of intercession. That's not the case, right? My brother, for example, you know, he started, you know, the family were all like, you know, this whole workout plan, you know. And my brother, I mean, he is getting ripped like crazy, right? And that was not his reality. That was not his ministry. But recently he was telling me, he was like, man, I was at the gym and someone walked up to me and they were like, do you do personal training? And we laughed about it because what he started out just like, hey, you know, I'm in here. I'm trying to get, you know, get back in shape and all that stuff. And then now you're seeing the results on his body. But because of the results, now he's being mistaken as a personal trainer. And I told him, I said, yeah, tell them that you personally train yourself. So you can agree with them, right? But this is the mistake we make. We see someone who is like, when they're praying, they're just strong in that thing. And we're like, wow, they have been called and anointed by God into the ministry of intercession. It doesn't exist. And if it exists, it's for all of us. You are an intercessor. And you are called by God to call upon him so that he will show you what this next season holds for your life. You see, there are 3 key things I wrote down in regards to prayer. The first key thing is faith. You have to believe and you have to know that God hears you. That is a foundation. You have to know that every time you open your mouth, that God is on the other side of that. The second key thing is consistency, because consistency speaks to your faith and consistency speaks to your expectation. The issue in life is that we are engaging in a culture and in a system that wants things immediately. But in God, there is process. Because in consistency, what also happens is that you also get in spiritual shape. You know, the first time you come to the Lord for prayer, you might be praying for things that are very surface. But as you go deeper, as you stay in the presence of the Lord, as you study the Word of God, all of a sudden you see that your prayer language changes. And that brings me to the third thing, authenticity. You see, praying is not outside of what is authentic to you. You have to be patient with where you are. Don't go before the Lord and just say, if it be thou. If anybody has watched The Game, one of my favorite shows, there's a part where this guy Jason, right? He's trying to pray. He's never prayed before. And he's praying the way he thinks that people pray. And he's like, if it be thou. Don't go praying to the Lord in King James language if that's not authentic to you. Right? Just talk to the Lord. I remember a couple of years back, and I crack myself up. So if I laugh, I'm just, you know, crack myself up. But a couple of years back, right, I was thinking, I said, God, I wonder like how Tupac used to pray to you. This is really, I was honestly asking, I said, God, can you just like let me in on some of the prayers of Tupac? And how he, you know, got a response from me. It cracked me up. But you got to pray in a way that is authentic to you. Because at the end of it, it's a heart to heart thing. It's a heart to heart connection. You are talking to your Father. You're not talking to a stranger. You're not talking to someone who you have to go read a book on how to communicate with God. No, you're praying to your Father. Call upon Him. Share with Him that, Lord, I'm in a season of my life. I don't know what to do. Guide me, direct me, show me my next steps, right? Some of you may just say, hey, big homie, I don't know what you do. But whatever is authentic to you, when my brother prays, it's hilarious to me. He'll be like, you know, big homie. And he has all kinds of names. He calls the Lord. Then at the end of the day, he's like, in Jesus' name, amen. I say, here we go, you know. But you got to do what is authentic to you. And as the Lord continues to reveal more of Himself, then you continue to talk in that manner. And you continue to go deeper in that manner. It's not complicated. But this is a key thing that the Lord put on my heart to share with you. That you, this is a time where you have to deepen your prayer life. You see, for many of you, as you're listening to this message, you feel a conviction, right? You feel a sense of, oh my gosh, there's something I need to change in my life, right? Conviction is there's like almost like a signal in our spirit that says, hey, she's talking to you. Hey, he's talking to you. Hey, this message is for you, right? Conviction is when you're hearing something and it almost becomes like a mirror of what I need to change, what I need to fix, what I need to adjust, and what I need to shift. But what I want to tell you about conviction, that conviction is not something you just say, oh, wow, that convicted me. And then you go your way and go get some brunch or some dinner, whatever have you, whatever time zone in the world you're in, right? No, when you are convicted in that moment, it is key that you begin to build disciplines around your conviction. Because conviction is a grace. It is a grace that brings us to repentance and alignment with God. And a grace does not sit on you forever. It comes upon you to make you aware of something, and it would lift off over time. And so when you are graced to have an understanding that there is something in my life that I need to shift, there is something in my life that is not making sense. Like for right now, some of you are like, oh my gosh, I really don't pray that much. I really don't spend time with the Lord. Then when you are having this conviction, build disciplines around it. Don't end the day without sitting with the Lord and saying, God, what would my life look like to build a discipline around what I have been convicted for? If you're convicted to live, to go deeper in your prayer, then what does that look like on a daily basis? How do you apply discipline in that area? So maybe you're going to say, hey, I'm going to set a time Every single day, that's the time I'm going to meet with the Lord for this amount of, however, you know, you got to make it work for you, right? I'm not trying to tell you to do something that is outside of your norm. No, it's going to be a sacrifice, that's for sure. But make it make sense. Make it work for you. If you can do 30 minutes, do that. If you can do 15 minutes, do that. If you can do an hour, the beauty about the Lord is that He is irresistible. And the more you spend time with Him, it would be your natural inclination to grow in the things of God. It will be your natural desire to say, God, I started off spending 5 minutes, but I want to spend 10 minutes. I want to spend 15. I want to spend 20. Whatever time you give to the Lord, He will honor it. And He will continue, He will build you and He will grow you. But if you are convicted by this, then I tell you, build a discipline around your conviction. Don't just text a friend and say, "Whoo, man, that sure convicted me." No, make a plan. Create a system. Create a strategy to say, "Lord, how do I repent from this? How do I shift myself into alignment with what you're saying?" You see, because in that place of prayer, when we begin to receive the instructions of the Lord, it brings us to a place of living in the presence of the seasons, living in the awareness and also being mindful for how we ought to prepare for what's next. You see, one of the things that I'm learning is that even when we talk about revelation and knowledge, there are three dimensions of revelation. There's a scripture I'm going to read very quickly. It's in Revelation chapter 4, verse 8, right? The scripture says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Now check this. "Who was and is to come." These are three different dimensions. Who was, who is, and who is to come. You don't want to be acting out in the present where God was. Because there are times where the Spirit of the Lord is moving into a new thing. The Bible says this, and this is the Lord speaking, "Behold, I do a new thing. Do you not perceive it?" Are you so caught up in where I was that you don't know where I am right now? And so when you make yourself available to prayer, when you make yourself available to calling upon the Lord and saying, "God, show me mighty things that I do not know," you're saying, "God, show me what is and what is to come. Show me what I ought to be doing now and what I ought to be preparing for." Because we cannot live in the thing that God was in. That is detrimental to your calling. Because when the Spirit of the Lord is shifting, you want to move with it. You don't want to live your life from an instruction that God has shifted from. Because that was for a different season. And there is a new season coming upon you. You need to know what is God saying now. And what is God, what is coming up next? And how do I prepare, Lord? That is how we unlock the different layers of our identity in Him. That is how we experience the different stages and expressions of who God has called us to be. There is so much to your life that you don't want to just be in one part of it. You don't want to be in one layer of it, one season of it. There are so many seasons attached to your life, and every season carries a word of God that is supposed to be manifested through you. And so don't be in who was, right? Don't just stay in the realm of where God was. Get connected to where He is and what is coming. And we do this through prayer. We do this through seeking the Lord. Some of you might need to fast. Recently, there's a pastor I admire, Cindy Trim, and she was sharing something on a podcast, and she talked about a dopamine fast. I thought that was really fascinating, right? She was saying basically, you know, once a week that she encourages people to do a dopamine fast. And what that means is, you know, stuff with social media, just television, all that stuff, anything that gives you this excitement of like, ooh, you know, who read this, who liked this, what's going on in the world and pop culture, because all of that is voices coming into your head. All of that is messages coming into you. And I loved what she talked about. It's like, no, you got to shut that down. And I'm actually going to start that. I'm going to start once a week, just cut off myself from social media, all of that, right? And it might increase, it might not, I don't know, but I love it. And whatever works for you, there are times that you need to literally disconnect from other voices. You need to disconnect from all these means of communication so that you can be in tune with what is heaven saying. right? Then some of you might need to go on a longer fast period. It might include food. It might include other things. But whatever gets you into that place where you're disciplined before the Lord, that is what you need to do. And so, family, I want to pray for you. Now, for some of you listening to this message, there could be things that came to mind, right? There could be things that you felt like, God, you know, I felt like I missed this season of my life because I got distracted. I felt like, you know, there was something that was supposed to happen, but I let fear distract me from actually executing it. For some of you, you actually felt what it was like to miss a window of opportunity. You experienced, it's not just like someone saying something to you. You knew what that felt like. That if you did this in the right thing at the right time, it would have been different. But you see, the beauty about God is that times and seasons, it does belong to Him. And there are things that He can alter because He wants to favor you. You see, in that scripture we read, the Bible highlights that when Jesus met that man, then He tells him, He said, look, I'm not here for the excuses, right? It was not even the man's faith that healed him. Jesus just said, look, get up and walk. And, you know, I guess there was some faith in it too, because he got up, right? He didn't need to get up. So I'll give him that, you know. But the man gets up and he carries his bed. And when we read, where we read that scripture, the verse 10 of that, it told us how, you know, it caused a little issues. You know, the people came in because it happened on the Sabbath day. And they're like, hey, it's unlawful for you to carry your bed on the Sabbath. But He is the Lord over the Sabbath. He is the Lord over the days. And as I was praying for you, the Lord showed me that He's going to bring a restoration of time. That there are some things that truly and indeed, there were windows of opportunity that you missed. But He is going to restore the times for your life. That the things that you feel like, God, man, I don't know if I could do that anymore because that was gone. He is still Lord over time. It still belongs to Him. And He can shift it and bend it in any way that He pleases. And so what I want you to do is get to the place where you stay sensitive. When you stay in that posture of, God, I need you. When you stay in that place of trust in Him. And this is not for you to go into a panic or anxiety about, but what if He doesn't tell me anything? No, trust that He is leading you. Your part is to get consistent in seeking Him. Your part is to acknowledge your weakness, that I can do this by my own. Because sometimes the voice of God does not come as a direct message. It comes as a leading. That all of a sudden you're just doing things, but without even knowing, is the Lord that is leading your steps. He is ordering your steps. He is causing you to go into the places that you did not have like a known revelation. It was not that you could confidently say, the Lord spoke to me at 6 a.m. today. No, but because you have submitted yourself, because you have acknowledged that, Lord, I am weak before you, all of a sudden you're in a knower. He is leading and ordering your life. And you have to be confident in that. I have to give this disclaimer because it's not going to happen the same way for everyone. Some people might say, "Ooh, the Lord gave me a dream. I know what I'm supposed to do." But for some people, you would just have a knowing of, I think I'm supposed to do this. But the confidence you have in doing it is because you know where your knees have been. You know to who you surrender. You know that, God, even if I'm making a mistake, you know how to reroute me because you are the one I seek. You are the one I call to. You see, something I'm learning is that whenever a person is in trouble, what they run to is their salvation. Whenever a person finds themselves, you know, up against the wall, what you run to immediately is what subconsciously you have called your salvation. So when we are running to the Lord and saying, God, I don't know, but you do, that is when we truly say that, God, you are my Savior. That alcohol bottle is not it. The drugs, that's not it. That person is not your Savior. The Lord is your Savior. Run to Him. If you're feeling that heaviness, if you're feeling that burden that, God, there is more connected to my life, run to Him. Call upon Him. Have faith, be authentic, and be consistent. It's going to change your life. And so let's pray, family. And perhaps maybe you're listening to this message and you don't know the Lord. And you're like, I want that. I want access to that. I want access to all of this that this lady just said. I want access to the anointing. I want access to knowledge. I want access to understanding. I want that. Then I just want to invite you to say yes to Jesus right now. You can just put in the chat, I'm coming home. I'm coming home, right? Hallelujah. Say yes to Jesus. It's the best decision I've ever made in my life. That is my best friend. That is the love of my life. Jesus. It's going to change everything, but run to him. For those that are giving their lives for the first time, you're going to see a link, a QR code for salvation. Just fill that out so we can get in touch with you. But family, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in this very moment. Lord, have your way. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for those who even felt like, God, I missed this window of opportunity. But Lord, you're saying that I would restore the years. I would restore the time. I am still, Lord, over the times and the seasons. I thank you, Lord, for that favor and for that grace and for your mercy. Your word tells us that surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, not few, not some, all the days of our lives. I thank you, Jesus, for that word. And I thank you that this would be the portion of your children, that they would know that mercy follows them and you would restore the times. I thank you, Lord, for those who are saying yes to you. I just pray a protection over their journey, over their mind, over their hearts, that they would grow and know you in the truth of who you are. They will fall in love with you, Jesus, and know how irresistible you are. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for those that are saying, yes, I felt a conviction in this message, and I'm going to build disciplines around this conviction. I'm not just going to say I was convicted, but I'm going to build a discipline. Lord, I thank you for the grace that would see them through in the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, I pray that you would open the realms of revelation to your sons and daughters, that they would begin to know things that they did not know. They would begin to move in ways that they have not moved, that they would have an awareness of the times and the seasons and what they ought to do. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that we would move with precision in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that we would not move and live randomly, but we would live our lives with precision. And I thank you that everything that you have purposed in its appointed time, in its appointed season, I thank you for the grace of ease that is coming upon your sons and daughters right now, because you have sent angels ahead of them to make their crooked path straight. And I thank you that they would acknowledge that this favor that has come upon their lives, it came because of you. Lord, may they not forget the source. In the mighty name of Jesus, may they not forget that it happened with ease because they flowed in the appointed time of God. I thank you, Lord God, that the blessing will not be a distraction, but that the blessing would continue to be a catalyst to draw them to more of you. Have your way, Lord God. And for everyone saying yes, have your way in their lives, that there, as they acknowledge you as their Lord and Savior, as the one who died on the cross for their sins. And when you were raised up, you raised them up with you with all power and strength. I thank you that they will find and discover their identity in you. We love you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.